All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's name is we're going to switch gears. Dr. Peggy Hinckley has got all kinds of experience as an educator, as a superintendent. She was just doing a great job as a superintendent out at Warren Township Schools and then decided to retire. Let Dr. Dina Cushenberry take the lead. The minute Dr. Cushenberry took the lead, she gets a big federal grant. See the things that work out. And she was just busy at home, I guess, you know, clipping coupons, you know, watching C-SPAN. And then IPS called and said, hey, can you hold the ship of state together till we figure out who our next leader is after Dr. Eugene White? It's your fourth day in the position. And the interim superintendent of the Indianapolis Public Schools, Dr. Peggy Hinckley, joins me live. Doc, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hold on, let me, because I want everybody to hear you. For those folks that don't know who you are, who are hearing your voice for the first time, they didn't live in Warren, who is Peggy Hinckley?
Peggy Hinckley is an Indiana native, born in Gary, Indiana, 60 years ago. I have spent 38 years in public education, started as an elementary teacher in a little place called River Forest up in Lake County. I was there a total of 15 years, started as an elementary teacher, went to the central office, then became the superintendent. Then I moved to LaPorte, which is near South Bend up north, was there 12 years as superintendent, spent my last 11 years at Warren until I retired June 30th. And I'm a graduate of IU, Purdue, Calumet up in Hammond, Indiana State, and Loyola University of Chicago. I have a daughter who is 33, married, lives up north. My husband, Mark, is a retired superintendent. And I love public education because I'm the result of the opportunity to do that. My dad was a country boy with a sixth-grade education. Right. My mother was from an immigrant family of 10 children. And in many societies, I would never have been given the opportunities that I've been given because of public education. So that's kind of in a nutshell who I am.
What is your priorities as interim? Because you have the adjective interim in front of superintendent, there might be a tendency of people within IPS to say, well, I'm just going to skate because he's not going to be here that long, and I'm just going to try to just go to get by. And are you concerned, and is part of the job keeping the morale up of everybody from the teachers to the bus drivers to the cafeteria workers to the maintenance folks to the people at central office and have everybody do 110% on behalf of the students and the parents and the taxpayers?
Well, certainly whenever there is a change in superintendent, and certainly a person with the prominence of Dr. White, there is always anxiety about what's going to happen. And I think that because I've had so much experience as a superintendent, and I've spent the last 4 days quickly meeting many people and getting up to speed before Dr. White's departure, we've been in transition meetings most of the week, that I think my goal certainly as the interim is to calm things down and get us – this is a busy time for us. I mean, school's always busy, but in addition to that, we're in the middle of testing. We are already beginning the process of preparing for next school year in enrollment projections, staffing projections, dealing with budgets and transportation routes. And, of course, the people that are responsible for all of that want to be sure that the person leading understands what it is they have to go through. So I would hope that my appointment has had a calming influence, but I would tell you of the people I've met in IPS, they're given 110%, and so I think we're just going to go right along and get the work done so that, in my mind, we want to have a great start to the school year, and we don't want anything to have gotten in the way of that, and that's certainly our goal.
There is, as I understand it, a deficit.
In terms of
the budget, and I know that administrators have been given warning letters, which you have to do by law. That doesn't mean that a warning letter that you may not have a job doesn't mean that you may not have a job. Are you concerned with that kind of uncertainty of administrators that leaves IPS open to raiding by other school districts? I noticed that the chief of staff of the system, Dr. Dexter Suggs, the number two person in the IPS administration, was named on Tuesday night the superintendent of the Little Rock, Arkansas school districts, which is a great thing for Little Rock, not necessarily good for Indy and IPS.
That's correct. Well, certainly we wish Dr. Suggs well. He was, when I met him on Monday, before I realized on Tuesday or on Wednesday that he would be moving on, mm-hmm. he did alert me to that possibility. But, you know, he was ready to be a superintendent, mm-hmm. and he certainly will bring a lot of great experience to Little Rock. And so it's a huge hole, but the good news is he's going to be around until probably May 1st so mm-hmm. that I won't be totally bereft with who's going to figure out all this on my own. I would say it's important to know the administrators did receive a final letter in January. So certainly there's a great deal of anxiety because every administrator received a letter that they wouldn't have a job after June 30th. However, those were done for budgetary reasons. Right. And so I think it's important to understand that the commissioners were trying to set a stage, if you will, for the interim to at least look at this issue of how many people do we really need? Because right. as you know, Ms. Brown, there's been a lot of criticism in the community about all of the people we have in the central office, et cetera, et cetera. So, I think it was certainly an unintended consequence, by the commissioners to realize, of course, when you not renew a principal, now all the buildings are concerned, teachers are concerned. And so the good news is next week we have a public meeting on the 12th, right. and I've indicated to the commissioners I'll be bringing the first wave of please rescind these letters mm-hmm. for key central office people and principals, which I'm reviewing right now with their directors, because we need to settle things down. Right. We want to allow our folks to get back. They're still focused on kids, but we really don't want that anxiety. And we already had people interviewing, and so that's why we made it a quick priority in my second week to let these people know we want them to stay in IPS, because many of them want to stay here, right. but they have to feed their families.
239-1310, 239-1310, you may have a question, a quick question for the interim superintendent of IPS. How soon, because obviously you got to be focused in the early days of being at the central office, trying to get your hands around a system that is almost three times the size of what you were used to.
Absolutely.
In Warren, in terms of projection, how soon before you'll get out to the buildings?
Well, after, of course, we're approaching a two-week recess with spring break. Right. And so we're currently getting ready right now to begin scheduling a school a day mm-hmm. so that I can, particularly in our lowest performing schools, mm-hmm. and not because I need to be there to check on them, mm-hmm. but I want to sit and spend some time in the school with the principal to see what we can do to make sure that we have the best situation in that school for not only currently, but then next school year.
You also talked about looking at enrollment projections. Mm-hmm. Given that we've got this wild card of vouchers and the wild card of charters, which is something that didn't impact you in Warren and is something totally new based on your other experience, is that going to make that harder to do projections when vouchers are growing, charters are growing? It's almost harder, I would think, for a traditional school district like IPS that's impacted disproportionately by charters and vouchers to try to make those projections.
Well, I think that's an accurate statement, Ms. Brown. I think we know more charters are going to open, and it certainly so many of them impact IPS that does create some challenges with regard to that. I believe that the antidote, or if you will, the reason people will stay in IPS is because of the quality of our schools. So we have to continue to improve our performance, because then, I mean, I'm a competitive individual. I want to be the very best. I want all of our schools to be the very best. And if we do that, then will have a better chance against the charters.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. It's Dr. Yingling's going to take a bit of questions, so we want to get her out quickly and let her go back and do job one for day four. Let me go to Greg. Hi, Greg.
How you doing today, everybody? Hi. I want to ask two quick questions. First, I want to know what you think about them takeover school situation. And second, what you think about School 44 situation?
Good question. Let me, first on takeover schools.
Well, I, you know, obviously this is the situation we're in. They've now been given to the mayor's office. I really, you know, it is what it is. And I think, again, as we continue to improve our options in IPS, I think those, we've already seen that many of those students have come back to IPS. So I think we just continue to improve the choices for our parents and children so that they're going to choose us rather than choose other options.
School 44, you may not be.
I do.
All right. You got a take on that? Are you looking at it?
Well, we're looking at it. I had the great privilege in August to visit School 44 with Krishanda Davis, the principal there. I know that we've had three principals in 4 years in that building. She is a dynamic young leader. And I'm well aware now a decision that was made in November mm-hmm. is now we had some community concern about what's happening. So the commissioners have asked me to look at that issue, and it's probably going to come back before us. So I can't tell you specifics at this point. But
you are.
It's on the radar.
So the board has asked you, hey, take a look at it with fresh eyes.
Exactly.
Okay, appreciate it. Let me go to Reggie at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. How you doing? How you doing, Superintendent?
Very well,
my
sir.
Question
Thank
is, multicultural, is that department on the chopping block? What's going to happen there?
Well, I believe that if the person in charge is
Pat Payne.
That was probably a non-renewal. Now, so I haven't got that far on day four, but all of those people have been non-renewed. So that'll be something we have to look at along with all of the other issues. And I have to look at what that office has done. And I'm sure she's provided, I know she's an institution at IPS, looking at that function, and I don't know what her plans are. You know, some folks have decided to retire. I don't know that she has, but that is on the list. Every administrator was non-renewed, so we're looking at everybody. And some positions will return, and some we can't because we have a $30 million general fund deficit.
Let me move the personality out of that question for a hot second.
Okay.
The basic function of providing multicultural education as part of the overall education for IPS students, should that still be a priority in IPS?
Well, I don't know why it wouldn't be a priority in any school, because we're all dealing with more diverse environments. But whether our environments are diverse, the world is diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be certain that we're addressing those elements that will allow our students to be better prepared, and that's certainly a variable.
Let me go to David at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. I have a question for the superintendent. It may not be the question that she can best answer, but maybe somebody out there can. If you guys said the schools keep shrinking over the years and the number of students go down because people are moving out and schools are closing, why do we still have to have the same number of school board members if there's fewer schools and students to be governed over? Couldn't those salaries that are spent for all those school board members be used to go back into the schools for other things? Why do we still need the same number that we had 15 years ago or 12 years ago?
I think because, first of all, the number of school board members for every school corporation in Marion County is 7. So Pike has 7, Warren has 7, Wayne has 7, Washington 7, Lawrence 7, IPS 7. So if you really looked at based upon the size of enrollment, the township should have less board members and IPS holds at 7.
I would also,
so it has nothing to do with enrollment.
And it's established in when schools do their reorganization plans. Sometimes, and you know, it's based on districts and some are at large, but It isn't tied in any way to enrollment. So, and that's true for every school corporation in Indiana.
All right. Appreciate it. That's a great question, though. 239-1310, 239-1310. Is that, as you and the board look at a decision to reduce the deficit, because obviously you're going to get input from the staff, from the different divisions within IPS, you'll make a recommendation, but ultimately that's the kind of decision that school board members get the very low pay
right. In
order to do. Is it just people, or is it going to be people? Is it going to be things like nobody travels anywhere? Yeah, we cut back the number of subscriptions that have nothing to do with actual learning in the classroom. You know, doing some of the little cosmetic cuts that may not be big things, but it sends a message and a symbol.
Well, to Dr. White's credit, we had already begun reducing, for example, any travel has to be, he reviewed to
right.
be sure. So some of those reductions have already occurred. I think the challenge when you're doing budget reductions, schools are people businesses.
Right.
And so consequently, while you can reduce travel and reduce some of other areas, it doesn't amount to give you enough. $30 million is obviously a big number. So undoubtedly, people will be involved. But philosophically, and I had to make budget cuts three different times in Warren, I think I always look at it as an onion, and you peel back layers with the center of that being the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to look at all your operations, everything that is not that teacher in the classroom and that school building, to reduce cost efficiency. So people might be impacted. You know, there's been a lot of community criticism of the size of the central office. So they know we're on the radar screen and we're going to have to look to gain efficiencies.
This deficit has nothing to do yet with what cuts may come from the federal government under the sequester.
Correct.
Have you all gotten more guidance from the Department of Education, or they're leaving y'all hanging like everybody else is hanging?
Everybody's hanging. Our preliminary information is the sequester, it will not affect this school year.
Mm-hmm.
But next year, we've been told it's anywhere from a 3 to 5% reduction. For example, in our Title I funds, that's probably about $1 million,
right.
as an example. But anything that happens with the sequester would affect next school year.
I understand you talked to my good friend earlier today, Rafael Sanchez, because he tweeted out that you'll be coming to the board with a recommendation on IPS preschool.
Yes, that's correct.
And I understand it will be in several buildings, but no transportation is involved. What, 9 buildings?
Well,
see, this is what happens when Raphael, you know, he scooped himself.
He scooped himself. Well, as I understand the history, we've had a number of proposals.
Right.
And obviously the concern, because this is funded by Title I, when we remove money from Title I, then that means less services go to the highest poverty schools. And, of course, we would be concerned about that. So we currently have 3 preschool sites that have waiting lists for which we have no transportation. And the majority of these, the new proposal, now we've downsized the proposal because we needed to be sure we could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
These are in neighborhood schools by
right.
and large. And
right.
so we believe transportation is unnecessary. So I met with the preschool group and we looked at the proposal that we needed to remove transportation, and there were supervisors written in that we can look at existing staff to help us. Principals will supervise those programs in
right.
the respective buildings, but we will have one building that will have 8 sections in, and we're going to reassign an existing person with preschool to be there so they can then supervise the class. So we'll bring that proposal. I've given them some things in writing, and they'll consider that on the 12th for a final approval.
ISTEP is going on now and next week, after that, here comes iRead. Have you at least talked to your iRead group, or are the third graders ready? They're ready?
Well, I certainly know teachers are working hard to get them ready.
Mm-hmm.
I met with principals briefly this week just to talk with them. But next week I'm meeting with principals, and we're going to get at more of some of the instructional issues we need to address in the short term. But I don't know a principal that isn't very focused right now on all the things that we have to have in place so children do well in ISTEP.
It still amazes me that the main news media haven't figured out what the graduation rates were for 2012. We got the information. We published it.
Yes,
at least for African Americans.
Very accurately.
And three IPS schools two IPS schools with perfect graduation rates, Attucks and, Center for, I can never remember the second one with 100% graduation rate. Come on, John, help me out. Yeah, no. It was Center, because Shortridge didn't have enough for them to give me the information. But as you look at it for the class of 2013, is it going to be continuing less use of waivers, making sure that the kids that get those diplomas, earned them?
Well, I haven't dug that far yet because I haven't had the chance to do that. But certainly I think there's been a focus because the Department of Ed has looked at those issues of waivers. And so we have to continue to look at that. But, if we look at a traditional high school like Northwest, they have many, many children with special needs there. So, but we just want to make sure that a diploma means that we earn the diploma. So we continue to look at less waivers and more graduation based on the criteria.
Finally, there was a school bus incident this morning that involved the driver. It was four or five kids. Do we know how they're doing? Have they been released from care?
The bus was rear-ended, and children and staff were checked out. Everybody is no one was injured, other than I'm sure they were a bit traumatized. But everybody's in good shape, and so we look forward to everybody returning to work and school.
And school. What's the biggest challenge?
Well, the biggest challenge is getting your arms around the largest district in central Indiana. So we, the complexity, Warren is, as you pointed out, about a third of the size. So, and I think as you pointed out in an article I read in the Recorder, when you have that additional amount of poverty, another 15 or 20%, we are really getting to some abject poverty in our community in a much more severe sense than probably what, although we certainly had poverty on the east side, it's just a kind of a different kind. And so getting your arms around, people always say we should be teaching kids to read, write, and do math on grade level. But I also say that if their stomachs are empty and they don't have shoes on their feet and they don't have their glasses, who's going to do that? Well, that's what we do. And if they need anything else, we figure that out. And so I think the challenge of getting my arms around a very big and complex school corporation is going to be the challenge. And just getting the numbers with the school names correct.
Mm.
I know some of them, but, knowing those locations, I look forward to learning that.
And Dr. White will leave the doors tomorrow of IPS for the last time. That's got to be. I know it's going to be emotional for him and probably for you.
Well, we've been having a series of farewells this week. There was a wonderful surprise party for him on Tuesday out at Forest Manor that we enjoyed. We had a lot of fun with Dr. White, but it brought its moments. Yesterday, we've all been doing really well, but when I started to talk, didn't work real well. Got a little teary-eyed. He got a little teary-eyed, but we got through it.
Mm-hmm.
I have great admiration. I've known him a long time, and he's a force.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very majestic figure in Indianapolis, and so I've made it clear I'm not trying to fill anybody's shoes. I just hope I can live up to what he's done so that we finish the year strong and we have a good start in the fall. But I have no doubt when he walks out those doors for the last time, he's going to have a big lump in his throat because he's done good work here. 7.5 years as an urban school superintendent is an impressive record. And he loves this school community, and he's going to miss it, and we're going to miss him.
She is the interim superintendent of the Indianapolis Public Schools, Dr. Peggy Hinckley. Don't be a stranger, because she's just five blocks down.
I couldn't walk.
Walk is good, guy. It's exercise. It's the steps thing.
That's
thanks very much for being with us. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.